You trying to say my job's not hard, Scott?
No, I'm just saying. do you sweat a lot when you're typing frantically?
Like in Hackers?
Depends on the situation, man. Maybe. You never know.
Do you frantically type at work?
If something's due, yeah.
What?
What do you think? I'm just like work and do whatever I want?
Sometimes.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 230. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
That's a really big number.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's like a few years worth.
230. It's kind of ridiculous.
Hey, guys. Point...
yeah.
Hey, guys. You should go to the dentist.
Why?
Because you're 230.
Oh, boy. I think we could just stop right there.
Man, that's it. Podcast is over.
Yeah.
The best joke has happened.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Next week. We would sell t-shirts that said 230. I love it.
I think we peaked too soon.
Yeah.
At episode 230?
No, at this point in the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited for episode 250, personally.
Yeah.
It's right around the bend.
Yeah. No, it's a big deal. Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know who we're going to have on.
Not even joking about that.
Bobby Two Shoes. Let's get Bobby Two Shoes.
Let's do it. You guys having a good week in your respective lives?
Yeah, it's been a blur. It's been,
sure.
Yeah.
It's all been a blur.
It's been busy for me. A little busy.
How'd the Star Wars run go, Scott?
Yeah, so my wife ran in the Disney Star Wars half marathon, the Dark Side half marathon.
Nice.
I wasn't there. I mean, I didn't run in the race, so. But she said
but
it was.
You saw
awesome.
The finish line, right? Were you close to the race? Did you see the race?
No, actually, I didn't get to see a lot of that either. Unfortunately.
Oh, really?
yeah, because I was taking care of my son, but that's okay.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, but it was cool. I saw, you know, you can go to Twitter and look at all the images and stuff like that. It's just, it's cool because
so
the,
you saw Twitter.
Yeah, and then
how's Twitter doing?
Oh, Twitter? Twitter's pretty good. Yeah. Y'all know, you know about the Twitter, right?
I'm unfamiliar.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the race actually goes through three of the parks at Disney, which is kind of crazy. If you've ever driven through there and then you're like, oh, what if I ran this instead? It's like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, my wife did the princess run, so I got to kind of see the route for that, and got to see all the cool costumes at the princess run. So
yeah, a lot of cool Star Wars costumes. Somebody, there was a photo on Twitter. Someone made a Captain Phasma inspired outfit. So it was
like
kind of
running outfit,
huh? For running,
like running outfit. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was basically all sort of like silvery fabric, you know.
Yeah
With like a skirt, and then they made the cape as well. It was like really awesome.
She already did more than Captain Phasma by running that marathon.
Yeah. Oh, womp womp,
sick burn, Phasma. Yeah.
My wife looked at it and was like, that is not an outfit you run in. And I was like, well, maybe she did the 5k.
True.
Yeah,
very true.
Yeah.
This week's rundown is brought to you by Loot Crate.
Hey,
so the crates just went out today, actually, the day we're recording this, correct?
Yes.
So we don't know the next theme yet, but we can tell you about Loot Crate, right, guys?
Indeed.
So Loot Crate is a monthly subscription service, and you get a box full of like nerdy good things in the mail, including anything from like shirts and comic books and exclusives, like toys and vinyl figures and all that kind of stuff. It's usually pretty amazing every single month. I don't know how they pull it off, but somehow they pull a box full of cool things off every month. So if you head on over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and you use the code ratedNA, you get a discount on your subscription, and you help out the podcast at the same time. And then while you're there, you can get like the pet Loot Crate one.
Yeah, Loot Pets.
Loot Pets. And like, they'll be like, you know, you can match your t-shirt with your dog.
That's
they
right.
They actually do that.
Oh, they do.
That's
a real
Deadpool
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd
great. Be amazing. I'd walk around Brooklyn with Lilo and a shirt that matches mine. I'd do that in a second.
Yeah. It's really a fun service. Like, and I've said this before on the show, but my wife and I do like the most obnoxiously adorable thing every month. We open the box at the same time and close our eyes and take turns picking one item out and draw out the process as long as possible. But
that is sickeningly sweet.
Yeah. And then we make love as we
Are you guys Porky Pigging while you do it?
As we're opening Loot Crate.
Just no pants. Jacket with bow tie, no pants.
Of course, yeah.
Hey guys, exactly. I just got an email from Loot Crate. They no longer want us promoting their products.
Sponsoring, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Loot Crate.
Ash keeps posting unboxing videos and Instagram keeps dying.
He's on his fifth different account, yeah.
Yeah. Why do they keep shutting me down? It's all just love, guys. It's love.
So anyways, head over to lootcrate.com/ratednA and help out the podcast. Thank you guys very much for doing that.
Let's do the rundown.
Okay, so this week we're going to talk about we have mostly news. Haven't really been a lot of releases that came out in the past week specifically, but there were a lot of betas over the weekend, and we have some news about updates to The Division, including what's going to happen to cheaters with the newest 1.1 update. There's, of course, always new Marvel Cinematic news, and then Red Dead 2?
Did you see
how I teased that? Yeah.
I'm excited, man.
Yeah. We have an Aquato. Yeah. In the Aquato, we ask, will you be picking up the mid-cycle PlayStation 4.5/Neo or new Xbox One? What are your thoughts? Let us know.
Yeah.
That should probably be in the news, too.
Yeah, I guess we can kind of talk about that as we introduce the Aquato, because it's kind of exciting and kind of weird. I'm curious what you guys think about that. I was going to be talking about the Gears of War 4 multiplayer beta that I technically should have gotten into because I'm an owner of the Xbox One version of Gears of War, the remastered version of Gears of War. But I guess Microsoft had some issues sending out all the keys. And there are literally millions of people that have not gotten theirs, including me.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So they've been sending out notices and different sites have been covering it. But, it was supposed to start on the 18th and it is now the night of the 19th. And still there are many of us that have not gotten it.
They'll probably give you a cool skin or something for the game when it comes out.
Yeah, I can't wait to get the iced tea skin or something like that for being 2 days late.
It's a real thing. True story. Yeah.
Yeah. but so I'm a little bummed about that, but hey, whatever. It's not a big deal.
You played some Battleborn this weekend though?
Yeah, so I ended up playing Battleborn I played it on Xbox One cuz I was going to play with you guys, but then the beta ended. Mm-hmm. And then I played it on PS4 cuz the PS4 beta was early, and I played it on PC cuz I was going to stream it, and I ended up streaming it for a little while. I don't know which day of the week I streamed it at this point, but the good news is that our streaming setup works, and we'll be streaming more. So I got the old green screen kick in.
I haven't seen the green screen yet.
Yeah, I got the green screen going. Cool. And it looks pretty good, and actually my bandwidth is strong enough to support the up and down, so there's no lag, and I was playing a multiplayer shooter. So
was there an innuendo in that?
Of course, your there's bandwidth, an innuendo in everything.
Your bandwidth can support the up and down.
Yeah, so definitely subscribe to us on Twitch, and that is twitch.tv/nerdappropriate. So follow us there, and we will go live and play some stuff. I almost played some stuff today, but I ended up getting busy, so I didn't do it. But definitely, we're gonna be streaming more, which is fun. So
yeah, that's great. Other than that,
Orphan Black came back this week, and I'm not gonna spoil anything, but it was probably one of my favorite episodes of Orphan Black in a couple seasons, I want to say. It was kind of a return to form. Not to say that the last season wasn't spectacular, because it was in its own way.
It was a little wacky, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that was really great about the season 4 premiere of Orphan Black was that it was a very focused episode. It was very small in scope.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of, there are a lot of different characters because she plays a lot of different characters, but it wasn't this massive, giant conspiracy with 50 people all trying to do different things to each other. It was a very tight and concise episode. And we can probably say the whole episode is a jump backwards in time. So you actually get to see, it's almost like episode 0 of the show,
yeah.
I would say. You know,
yeah,
it's like
it really
takes
exciting.
place like maybe a week before episode one, the pilot. So you mm-hmm. could conceivably watch the season four premiere of Orphan Black and then watch the pilot and have a, you know, an all new, you know, perspective on what the show is like. And I still think to this day, the Orphan Black pilot is one of the strongest pilots, I think, of any show that I've ever seen. Like Orphan Black and Lost had just incredible, incredible pilots that really drew you in. So
yeah, because they have to start really with a really interesting premise. And I think that premise is established immediately within the first 5 minutes of the pilot, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has a great hook. So if you haven't watched Orphan Black, do so. Let us know what you think of it. You know, send us a tweet at NerdAppropriate and you know, talk to us about it, because it's a great show. We don't talk about it a lot, but you know, it's spectacular. And that Maslany is a genius.
She's great. There's also a wonderful community built around their like their Twitter feeds.
Yeah, they have a great interaction with their fans. Mm-hmm. They live tweet all their episodes, and it's a very because the show is still I won't say small, but it's smaller. You know, it's on BBC America, so it doesn't have this massive reach that something like, you know, network show has. So mm-hmm. its community is very, very, very supportive of the show, and it's really positive too. They have a really, you know, super positive community.
Yeah, so. And she was nominated, right, for an Academy Award. Was that what it was? Was it a Golden Globe? It was Academy Award, right?
I think it was a Golden Globe.
Oh, okay,
Golden
Globe. But yeah. Even that in itself was like a really huge deal for her and for the show,
right?
Which is awesome. So that just means we're going to get more of it, which is really exciting.
I hope so. I hope it goes for a long time. I know, you know, she's the whole cast loves doing it, or so it seems. So mm-hmm. I can't wait for more. But let's go over to Matt, because he's quiet.
Just chilling, man.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't played Battleborn or watched Orphan Black. I watched 3 episodes of Orphan Black total in my life.
Oh, that's too bad. They're
it's very good.
They're
it's
on not, Amazon they're... Prime now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great. I just don't, it just hasn't been one of the shows that took off in my TV watching time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what did I do? Finished Daredevil? Did we talk about that last week? I'm having a hard time remembering what we already talked about.
You were watching it. You had not finished it yet.
So finished Daredevil, which is fantastic. Really hoping for some tertiary show spinoffs of this one.
So you want the Foggy Nelson law drama?
I want the Foggy Nelson and the blonde girl law drama. And we'll call it, instead of just Suits, it'll be Dirty Suits.
I like that.
And it'll be...
Can it not be called Avocados? Avocados at Law?
Avocados at Law?
Yeah.
Isn't that one website Avocado or something? That legal website?
Well, that was the joke. Avocado. That was the joke at the end of in the middle of season one was Foggy said they were avocados.
You're asking me to recall a joke from the middle of season one?
Oh my gosh. Scott,
please.
You're the only one with a robot brain here, Scott.
Oh my gosh. It was a funny joke and I watched it recently.
What did I have for lunch 2 weeks ago, Scott? I told you.
You probably had a burrito.
You're right. Oh my God.
You could guess that.
Yeah.
What do you have for breakfast this morning? Probably a burrito.
Breakfast burritos.
That was yesterday. Today I had an egg.
Just one?
It was 3.
Just a solo egg.
Breakfastcast.com.
I didn't really do a ton. Didn't get to watch any movies. All we did was play The Division. So. I'm like woefully short on things that I did. And then I worked a bunch.
We quote unquote beat The Division.
We did. We level capped in The Division and played the end story with the one unique boss that's in the game, which was cool.
Yeah, that was great.
It was fun though. I mean, it was like, it felt very, I don't know about you guys, and I won't ruin, I don't know if it's really ruining it, but I won't ruin what the boss is, but it felt very early 90s or late 80s action video game.
Oh yeah.
Boss fight.
Yeah, it felt like the end of a linear video game as opposed to all these open world games that exist today.
It felt very much like we had transported back to playing like Contra or something.
Yeah. We were Time Splitters.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, any chance you get to slip in Time Splitters, don't you? You just whenever you can
it is a
slide
really,
that name in there.
It is a really good game. Some I would argue that it's probably better than GoldenEye.
Take that gauntlet down.
Yeah,
there's gonna be 2 or 3 angry tweets about that one.
One thing we should say about Division is that for the first time ever, we played the entire game together. From 1 to 30. So that was something pretty cool. We all kind of stuck to our guns and did all the story missions together. And that was really cool. I really enjoyed that.
I'm looking forward to playing those early ones at 30 again, now that we have all of our abilities.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, we got to
be way different.
But yeah, that's it. I really, like, honestly, I have nothing to report. So, Scott, how about you?
I also watched the Orphan Black premiere and was very excited about that, to see the direction that it's going in this season. Let's see. Still watching Gotham. Are you guys caught up on Last Man on Earth?
No, I just kicked off. Like, we just watched episode two. We're like way, way behind.
Oh my God. The show.
I watched it. It's really good.
Of season two. Like, we watched season one, which was fantastic. Yeah. We're behind this season.
Yeah. It just becomes like, when you think it can no longer become absurd, like, it becomes more absurd. And I think they've kind of tried to tone down the extent to which you just hate every single person on the show. Like, they're still all terrible people, but it's like funny now. You know, you don't just want to like hate everybody on the show, which is great.
Well, there was a time where Tandy was like, I couldn't even look at him on the screen. Yeah. He was such a horrible human. Like, he was hard to watch, and they kind of, I mean, he's still a complete asshole, but they've kind of made him a little bit more tolerable.
What I loved about him, like, his game was that every time he went to make, we've talked about this, I think, every time he went to make a decision, it was always the exact opposite decision of what he should have done. Even when he did good, it ended up going bad for him, because like every decision was always the wrong one, no matter what, which made it hard to watch over time. You're like, oh Jesus.
Yeah. It just, It's just amazing how well all of that comedy works on that show. It's just, it's like, there's something like some, you know, the sum is greater than the parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that half hour comedy is the one that makes me laugh out loud the most right now.
Yes.
Like that, I literally, every episode I laugh out loud like 5 or 6 times. And that's, I mean, I'm a horrible, humorless person and I don't laugh all that often, but that show makes me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I did play, I was able to play one round of Battleborn, and I have like a complete story of Woe, which is unfortunate, but, I picked a character. I started the first single player campaign, and you know, I think each mission is about an hour long. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah. So I was playing by myself, and I got to the second boss, defeated the second boss, and then I lost Khan.
Oh.
And what was surprising was that even though there are checkpoints in the game, even your single player missions that you play by yourself are, they exist on a server, which is spawned from, you know, from the server side, of course. And so, which is really the other interesting thing, is that I don't know if you noticed, Ash, when you start a game, the instance of the server that you're playing on actually has a time limit on it. So, on the round that you were playing, like, the server lifespan was like 2 hours long. So I'm pretty sure that even if you pause the game and put the controller down to go do something else, you would have had to finish your game, I'm assuming, in the, you know, the lifespan of that instance of the game.
Yeah, I did notice that. And I also noticed that because I was cleaning the house and I had it running on the PC, and I thought I paused it and it server timed out, but it also would give me a shitload of experience for failing the mission.
What?
So it would say mission failed, and I got like half a bar of experience. So I just kept loading it up and going to clean, and I got like 4 levels.
Wow.
Just cleaning the house. So I figured out a way to exploit. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, everybody.
Interesting. I guess there is some compensation. And, you know, technically you're not losing anything other than the enjoyment of completing the level, because you're really just trying to level up the character, which is weird. But I don't know. Like, it's cool. Like, I definitely think it's the gameplay is fun, but just the concept of it is, I don't know, might not necessarily be appealing to me, especially since, like, I still have, like, Witcher and Tomb Raider to go play.
There's a lot. I think Battleborn with friends could be a really awesome experience.
Yes.
But, you know, like we said, any of these types of games with your buddies is going to be fun.
So. Yeah, and I think we're pretty heavy into Division right now for the time being, so that's cool. For some reason, I actually got a weird urge to, like, just log into Destiny again just to see, like, what's going on, because we all stopped playing, you know, at the raid, like the first raid.
Yeah, right after, like, Vault of Glass.
Yeah, we didn't play Expansion 1 or 2. Obviously, we didn't play Taken King either, and the game has probably changed drastically since then. So there's like a small part of me that just wants to log in and, like, go check the mail and walk around the village and just see like what's going on. But again, time, right? We don't have the time to play all those games.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. That's pretty much it. We just played Division, which is what we're going to do when we're done here. So,
oh yeah,
let's get into
Scott has willed it.
This is my will. Let's get into some news.
News.
All right. So the first bit of news is about cheating in the Division. Oh my gosh.
What a shock. Did you read? Did you actually read what these
what the cheats were? It this kind of sucks because I've, well, let's go ahead and tell the listeners what's going on. So they put out a raid for the Division, and already people are don't like it because they were expecting something like Vault of Glass from Destiny with like a narrative and, you know, hours and hours of gameplay. And all Falcon Lost is sort of like a horde mode, an incredibly hard horde mode with a big boss at the end. But people figured out how to exploit the boss and figure out a way to get around him and kind of outside the map to kill the boss. And they can basically repeat the boss every 20 minutes without really, you know, taking any damage. And
yep.
Essentially, they broke the map in order to get the best loot in the game. Well, the problem with the Division is it is, in essence, if you go in the Dark Zone, it is a competitive game. So people that have farmed the boss, even only for a couple days because Ubisoft shut it down, people that have farmed the boss now have gear that is, you know, leaps and bounds better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So even if you're in the Dark Zone all day, the gear from Falcon Lost, the gear from Falcon Lost is, you know, much, much better than the gear you get in Dark Zone. So people that have that gear in the Dark Zone can just lay waste to everybody. And that is what's happening right now in the Dark Zone. So I've been in there at level 30 now, and holy crap, there are guys that can kill you essentially with one bullet. It's insane.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and the go-to thing to do is, you know, you'll go to, you know, extract your stuff, and these guys will just pop up and, you know, one-shot you, take your things and extract it. And it happens, you know, time and time again. And there's no, you know, I have no doubt that these people have used that exploit from Falcon Lost. So that's kind of a bummer.
You know what's kind of funny about that is, like, at this point, they have the best gear, right?
Right.
And so really, what is the point? You're done. Like, yeah, the game is over for you. You have all the best stuff. There's nothing left for you to do. Like, that's the end of it.
The only thing I can think is that they're breaking down all those materials and farming like a shit ton of materials for when the next thing comes out.
Sure.
So that they have like this, you know, this storage pile of materials that they can kind of pull from to build stuff.
Oh, like when the DLC drops come and stuff like
that. Right. Because that's the only thing I was thinking is like, if you already have the best gear in the game, like why are you farming stuff in the Dark Zone that's technically of a lower tier? But, you know, some people just like to kill other people. That's way the world is.
Yeah.
Silly PvP. But,
yeah, but the news is that Ubisoft can monitor, you know, what your specific character does.
They know how many doors you've closed in the game.
Right. And so they know who has cheated in the Falcon Lost using the glitch, and they're going to punish those players in some way, shape, or form. They haven't said how yet, if it's going to be a temporary ban or they're going to take the items back, which is one of the things that they said they might do, which I think would be great if they just strip those characters naked and they're like, sorry, you shouldn't have cheated.
Yeah.
I have two ideas.
Don't punish them in any, leave them at their level, get rid of all their gear, and they have to start right there again.
I think they should either take their gear or just everybody that cheated gets put on like a list, and those people only play with each other.
Oh,
and so they're like banished.
Banished to a server.
Yeah, banished to like some wasteland, and just be like, fine, you guys want to cheat? Like, you're not going to see anyone else in this game. Not your friends. Not anyone else. Like, you're done.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's interesting stuff. I think the thing that interests me the most about this story and just the Division in general is that the way that the game is played is very different from anything I've ever played before. So like, you have the story missions which we all played together, but now, you know, this end game is very different because it is a PvE and a PvE experience sort of at the same time, but there's not necessarily a balance there, right? There is a certain set of weapons and gear that is specifically geared toward killing other people, and then there's gear that's great for, you know, raiding stuff. So I guess in a lot of ways it's a lot like an MMO. You know, you have your like PvP sets and your PvE sets, and it's weird to me to have a shooter that's like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting like behavioral psychology experiment, I think, to like allow people the, you know, you have the option to fight somebody or work with them. And I think that aspect of it is interesting, but obviously some people are just jerks, right? So like,
yeah,
I don't want to see those people. So like, please design something into this game where I don't have to see these people, but I can still experience like the intensity of the Dark Zone that really doesn't exist outside of the Dark Zone in this game. Cause I just want to challenge. Yeah. I don't want to mess around with other people trying to grief me, you know, for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah. I saw it
right now.
A guy
but at
posted,
the same time, the story mode is so like, while yes, the story is not that it's so good, but the story mode is still so good that it's sort of a triumph on its own. It's not the challenge of Dark Zone, but like we talked about, what was it, Fuse? And we're like, man, you know, if more games just did this co-op, like made it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's to me exactly what The Division ended up pulling off, is that I've barely touched the Dark Zone and I still feel like I've already gotten my money's worth out of this game. Like it was a blast to do the co-op stuff.
Yeah, it's good because it really you was. Could potentially never go in there if all you want to do is like, you could play the dailies, right? Every day, which are just the story missions, and you'll be fine. You know, you'll still have fun. And then it doesn't matter what your, whatever your gear rank is or something, because you're just playing with your friends and you guys can all just level up together and it's not a big deal, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I saw somebody posted a video, where he sort of caught a cheater and he, you know, captured the video and posted it to YouTube. And it was basically like the guy was doing an extraction, while he's standing there, like right behind him, the camera's over his shoulder, right behind him, a guy just like levitates from the sky and just lands right behind him. And then just starts like chasing him around like one of the structures. And then the guy just ran away. Like the player ran away because he didn't want to get killed. And like, that was it.
I wish I would have recorded this, but there was a guy trying to kill me and there was a car in the middle of the road. And all I did was I kept running around the car and he kept following me. I'm not even kidding, for about 30 seconds. And he couldn't get a line of sight on me. And he did. He never once ran in the opposite direction.
That's amazing.
So eventually he just ran off because he got bored. And I was like, oh man, people in this game.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, especially in these multiplayer games, a lot of people might have good hand-eye coordination, you know, so they're really good at aiming and shooting, but they're not really great at thinking about how to deal with other people and be tactical, which I think is really fascinating too. And it happens in every game. It's not just Division. Something you can witness in Battlefield all the time, where like you run up on a sniper literally with your medical paddles and you're like, what are you doing? You're not even paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Division, good stuff. We'll probably play it more and talk about it more. Sorry, listeners, if you don't like it.
Yeah, that's all right.
A little bit of Marvel Cinematic Universe news. We didn't actually talk about this. This news is a little bit older, but I thought it was interesting because we talked about a few weeks ago the fact that, you know, Marvel's just making everything and anything at this point. And we even had a question of the week, like, do you think it's too much? And the news just came out that Cloak and Dagger is actually greenlit already and is being made, I guess, from the equivalent of like ABC Family. It's not called ABC Family anymore.
It's going to be on that channel. Yeah, channel is called Freeform.
Freeform. There we go. So yeah, Freeform is making a Cloak and Dagger TV show. And this is, it's weird because it's they actually labeled it as an interracial romance is the type of show that it is.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What is Freeform? I've never heard of this.
It's going to be different.
Freeform, it's ABC Family. They had like Pretty Little Liars and Shadowhunters.
So they just renamed the channel?
Stitchers. Yeah, they just rebranded. It's because it was like they were called ABC Family and then they were putting on these like steamy team dramas, like essentially.
So it's kind of like the CW now?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
They just rebranded. They made a big deal out of it at New York Comic Con. It was kind of amazing. But so first I was like, please not Fox, please not Fox, please not Fox. And then I saw ABC and I stopped reading and I was like, oh wow, ABC is going to do a Cloak and Dagger. And now that it's Freeform. So have you watched anything on this channel, you two?
No, I have not.
I've seen two shows. Melissa watches two. She watches Shadowhunters, which is based off of a book series that I think your wife has read, Ash.
Yes, I think so too.
And another one called Stitchers. These are not high budget shows, is the way I'd put it.
Got it.
Okay.
Is it like sci-fi budgets?
Small, well, old sci-fi or new sci-fi?
I don't know. Pick an era just so we understand what you're saying.
Definitely less than The Expanse, but maybe more than like Sharknado or whatever.
More
like,
than Sanctuary, but less than The Expanse, potentially?
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe. It's close. They're low budget. These are like pretty low budget shows. Mm. I'm actually just shocked that Marvel owns this, because they were in X-Men a bunch, weren't they?
I think at one time they were, but I think it's kind of like the same.
Is it because they're not called mutants, quote unquote? So they
right,
can get
they're
away
not.
With it?
They're not. They were altered by some sort of chemical experiments. So,
huh? Do you want to explain Cloak and Dagger's powers?
Yeah. So they were teenage runaways. Both, you know, had a really terrible life, and they were brought in, and they did illegal drug experimentation on them. And Cloak ends up getting the power to not only create darkness, but he has this cloak that envelops his body, and he can actually enter another dimension and teleport basically anywhere on the planet and bring other people with him. But the problem is that the power kind of drains him and makes him, you know, get really depressed and kind of crazy. And then Dagger has almost the polar opposite power. She has the power of light, and she can generate blades of light that she can actually feed into Cloak to kind of heal him. And so the two kind of, you know, feed off one another, and she like jumps out of his teleportation cloak and, you know, zaps enemies, and he takes people into his cloak and makes them get all, you know, depressed and you know, kind of does like a fear type spell on them when he drags them into the cloak.
Yeah. But
they're really interesting characters. I think like design wise, aesthetically, they're really cool. I don't think they've ever like, you know, I read a little bit of the comics growing up, and they haven't had like, I don't think they've ever had a standalone comic series that's lasted more than a few years.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I know. Nothing long running if they've done it.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, they've been around, I want to say, since maybe the late 70s or at least the
early
80s.
I thought they were a Claremont creation. Are they not?
They might be. I know they've been around definitely since the 80s, but yeah. we'll have to look this stuff up. But it's cool. I mean, you know, I'm interested to see the spin they take on the characters. Hopefully they kind of adhere to what Marvel's been doing and don't, you know, stray too far from how they were in the books, because how they were in the books is really cool.
I mean, this could also be Disney being smart about properties they own and channels they own and trying to spread the love, quote unquote, a little bit, you know, like, hey, well, if we take a Marvel show that'll probably have higher viewership than, you know, like, I don't know how well Shadowhunters is doing or any of the shows over there. I know Pretty Little Liars was pretty big, but like, you know, if we take this property and put it over here, maybe more eyeballs will get on this screen, and we can kind of couch it in teen romance kind of thing and see how it goes. But I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, it's not going to be anywhere. It's not going to be at the quality level of a Jessica Jones or Daredevil. It's hard for me to picture that, but I think it'll still probably, it could be good, you know?
The thing that's interesting is I think they were like Hell's Kitchen area heroes too. They're definitely a New York team. So.
Yeah.
You know, New York's going to start getting crowded, especially with Spider-Man. Spider-Man now being part of the MCU. It's like, how do these guys just not all like bump into each other? I guess
they announced the villain and the possible actor.
No,
it's the Vulture. And I heard rumor Michael Keaton.
So interesting. That is crazy. Like, it'd be really good. I mean, Keaton's a great actor.
Yeah. 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 So.
Vulture is not a great villain, though. Sorry, Spider-Man fans. He's not.
Well, supposedly he's who Raimi wanted for four, right? Or three? No, four. It was who he was going to like kind of return to the Spider-Man oneness and put Vulture in it and make him the bad guy. But yeah, he's an interesting bad guy. I don't know. I know a little bit about him because I didn't heavily read Spider-Man, but he's basically just an old man who builds like a suit and takes a super drug, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even remember his origin story. He's just like an old man that flew around in like a green unitard. Like,
yeah. he is a very old man, though. There is that truth to it.
Yes. Poor Michael Keaton. It's like, we need someone old.
Speaking of antagonists in green leotards, did you guys see there's a they released a image of the new Rita Repulsa, Elizabeth
Banks.
No,
I saw somebody freaking out on the internet today, but I didn't know what anyone was talking about other than that it was whatchamacallit, right?
Yeah, so they're doing a remake. There's going to be a new Power Rangers film, and Elizabeth Banks has been cast as Rita Repulsa. And did you guys ever watch Power Rangers back in the day?
Yeah.
Only sort of. Yeah, like a little, but I wasn't a big
yeah. fan. Yeah, so it's I don't know, it's a different look. You know, Rita Repulsa, the original one, had these big, you know, these big gray hair pieces with like a big staff and everything. And this Elizabeth Banks's Rita Repulsa kind of looks like
a sexy badass.
She kind of looks like Angelica Houston from Captain EO, to be honest with you. The long fingernails and like
she's
this.
But she's got like a whip or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Here. Yeah.
Some kind of rope thing.
Yeah. That's just, cool. It's a different.
She looks cool.
Yeah. It's cool looking, but it just doesn't look like Rita Repulsa. That's the weird thing about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they why can't change it that much, right?
Well, I mean, come on, guys. Really? Are we going to be this? Like, do you guys. I remember the show. I may not have watched it heavily, but they can't literally remake the show.
No, they cannot.
Like, costume for costume and everything, like
they,
you know,
they cannot, but they're the two, even the look of the two characters have so little in common that if you showed me an image of the character and you're like, what character is this from, I wouldn't have been able to tell you Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That's the
sure.
Yeah, I think yeah. That's why she's people are freaking
not,
out.
She's not Rita Repulsa, like, necessarily, yeah. but yeah, at the same time, like, if they like, God, I'm looking at the pictures. If you put her in a big baggy red dress with like weird, I don't know what horn hair, mm-hmm. like it would be weird. It's like no one would accept that. I think like we want to think we would, but I feel like we would all be like, no, that's insane. Like we're not watching this. It's insane.
Yeah, that's true.
They should have kept the staff though. I think that could have been
staff
could have been cool.
Yeah, I guess if you try to remake the original, you would kind of have like a one of those like He-Man movie situations or the Super Mario Brothers movie. Well,
Power Rangers was just so campy. Like mm-hmm. it was like so much camp to that show, and the movie. There was a movie too, wasn't there? Like a few
many,
movies,
many, and spinoffs and different generations.
I just can't imagine you do that exactly the same and get the. You're not going to get that camp, right? Like, I don't think they can pull that. You can't force that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, I'm interested to see it. Like, cause I remember it as a kid. It
feels like a huge name to get for that role. That feels like a giant actress.
I don't know this to be true, but for some reason I feel like she's more involved with the film than just being an actress in it.
I just feel like, I mean, like granted, maybe she hasn't been huge forever, but after like she was in Hunger Games, right? Like,
and she did Pitch Perfect, and
Pitch Perfect, and she's in charge of Pitch Perfect too. She's done a ton of comedy, so maybe she's trying to do less comedy stuff.
Yeah, but. It's fun though. It's a fun. I think you know for her that's probably something that's like super fun to do. So
yeah.
Crazy. I'm still interested to see how it you know how that develops over time.
Yeah.
It's gonna be so bad, guys. Come on.
I know. I can't wait to see it.
That's why I'm like. Everybody's freaking out. And I'm like, it's power. We're still talking about the Power Rangers, right? Yeah. Like a campy TV show from the 90s that we all loved.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a Voltron ripoff if you think about it, you know, because
Yeah.
And then there was,
it was almost 100% a Voltron ripoff.
Yeah, and then there was like VR Troopers that was sort of like a ripoff of Power Rangers. So the chain just keeps going.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we are VR. You remember that?
I do.
Sure.
Hold on, you just told me I remembered something. You remember it. I never watched this. I don't know what this is.
I think they would kind of phase into virtual reality somehow to fight the bad guys. That was like their shtick.
I thought you were talking about that cartoon where they were all like green. It was like 3D.
No, I don't know what that one is.
Visionaries?
Was it Visionaries?
That's that where they had the holograms inside of their banners and chess pieces, right?
No. That's light. Way Visionaries is the old 80s. No, like newer than that. Like they were like in a computer.
I don't remember.
Let's go down this hole, guys. This is totally worth it. Computer cartoon. Oh, Jesus. This is not turning up what I want it to turn. All right, anyways.
Anyway, let's talk about some Red Dead 2 leaks.
Yes.
We were just talking about this when we had Raul Coley on the site because he was saying that this is his favorite game. And we think all of us were like, yeah, it's right up there on our list as well. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of hoping that something like this would happen. And lo and behold, it did. This is actually pretty hilarious. A disgruntled Rockstar employee said that his boss was a dick. And because of this, he leaked a bunch of stuff to the internet. And people have been checking it out, and it looks like it's perhaps legit. So there's a map that's been released that actually matches up pretty well to the other Red Dead maps. So they're saying what's going to happen is that this Red Dead is going to be a prequel.
I think one of us called it. One of us called it on that Raul Coley episode.
We were saying it would be, So it's kind of crazy, but it's a prequel is going to take place about 20 to 25 years before Red Dead Redemption. And the map is going to be much larger. There's now water areas on the map. Has three playable protagonists, one of which you create. Sort of similar to what they did with Grand Theft Auto V, where you actually had an avatar that you created on top of the main protagonist in the game. Only in Red Dead, the new Red Dead, they're saying that this one that you create will be your multiplayer character, and he'll also be, or she'll be, popping up in the narrative as well. So, like, if you're doing like a heist or something like that in Red Dead, you might see your multiplayer character there, which I thought was really cool.
That's cool.
So yeah, so there's a lot of leaked information available online. Just type in Red Dead 2 leaks and you'll be able to find a full list. But it looks like it is something that is indeed being made. And it's really exciting, especially, you know, since we're all huge fans of the game. It's like, I can't believe we're getting another one. It's great.
It'll be interesting to see that game on a new generation console because, you know, as great as the game was, Rockstar really isn't known for their shooting mechanics, you know, if you will.
Oh, yeah, that was the roughest part of that game.
Yeah, the firearms work in Red Dead 2 was, like, pretty average for what it was, and it would be nice to see that game with, like, a more fleshed out gameplay system just beyond, like, you know, what they're known for, which is sort of, like, the open world thing before that really caught on in a meaningful way. But, you know, we know that this, you know, they have the story piece down, so just more improvements to that would be really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like 90% setting. So, like, I just want to play in that world again.
And yeah, you can totally tolerate cool the gameplay because the story is so good.
Yeah. So, two pieces of unlisted news here, guys.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
The cartoon I was thinking of was Reboot.
Oh, okay. It was a 3D.
Do you remember Reboot?
I do remember Reboot,
I don't remember that one.
Well, there, see? Ha-ha, you should, Scott.
Although the image looks very familiar.
It was like a daytime. They played it a lot. And then I think what the precursor to Adult Swim used to run it all the time too.
Oh, okay.
And then the other was, did you guys see that the other leak today was that they're going to re-release Arkham Asylum and Arkham City on current gen with all the DLC?
Oh, that's cool. Like
I did skim this.
Yeah, HD remakes, both games packaged together with all the DLC, supposedly.
Awesome.
So, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Especially if you're a fan of the Batman.
Yeah, instead of playing new games, let's go back and play the games we've already played
again. Oh my gosh, with that,
prettier.
With things like that, and, you know, because that always happens at the new console generation, but with that and backwards compatibility now with the Xbox, you know, there's now tons of new stuff that's just popping up in the queue. Including the games that are games with gold. There's like everything old is...
They just put something out and I grabbed it because it was really good.
Saints Row 4.
Saints Row 4, yeah.
Which is fantastic,
Because I had never played it.
Yeah, it's completely worth your time, for sure. Yeah.
Really good. So much fun.
Yeah.
All right, so the question of the week is about the mid-cycle PlayStation 4.5, codenamed the Neo, and the new Xbox One. And we wanted to know if our listeners were game for picking one of these up. And if you haven't heard of it, it's basically an upgraded version of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One with more RAM and better processing power and new video cards and the ability to do 60 FPS in games. And I'm curious what not only you guys think about it, but also our listeners. So the first one comes from a new listener, Fleur Delizer. Fleur Delizer, Julie, says, I'm way more likely to get my first Xbox One than I am a new, slightly better PS4. So that's smart. I think a lot of people...
Interesting way to look at it.
Right. If you don't have one of the new current gen consoles, then why not just wait until these upgraded versions come out and go for that? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Kylo Holt at Kiel Hal says, instinctively no, though I could be persuaded. I have a friend I could give my old Xbox One, or you could just put your current Xbox One in the bathroom, right? And then you could just hook it up in there. This? I don't know. You would never have to stop.
That's true.
Robert Freemering at Mr. Slick says, I'm awaiting official announcement. I was thinking PS4K/PS4.5 would be a 4K Blu-ray compatible and use PSVR without processor unit. So he's going to hold off. We know so little at this point.
Yeah.
Other than that they're coming. We're just waiting to find out the details.
All speculative.
I think price point on both these and the older models will be key as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this, something that I think is interesting about this is that I feel like when the, for example, the Xbox 360 came out and then eventually there was a Slim, and I'm pretty sure some of the hardware inside that Slim was upgraded, but I don't know that maybe it just didn't have the impact that like this new upgrade potentially will have.
I'm still moderately worried about splitting the tech base unless they give developers some easy way to get around it. I don't know.
Yeah, there are rumblings that developers are a little bit PO'd about this because it means, essentially having to increase dev time to be able to develop for both.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is already something that Nintendo has done with the new 3DS and the existing 3DS system. So there are, at least two games that you can only play on the new 3DS system. And then supposedly I read some reports that the new Hyrule Warriors game, the version that came out for the 3DS, is basically like unplayable on the on the old version, which is too bad. So it's really intended for the newer one, even though you could get it for the old one. So I mean it would be unfortunate to run into problems like that or there's just like no good way around it. What are you gonna have, like two SKUs for the same game, or like have...
Right, and that's what I was gonna say. It feels like the only way you can manage this is digitally. Like if if you're gonna download a title, then the box already knows which box it is and it just grabs the right, quote unquote version. But
yeah, I guess that would be okay. Like if everything, if there was like a patch or something that upgraded one version to another depending on which console you had. But
I think it's no different really than how PCs are right now. Like you can turn certain shaders on, you can, basically move your slider to have better graphics. And I think that's kind of what they're going for with this is, you'd have the same game, but it would just have a toggle to be like, hey, can you play it in fucking 60 frames per second?
Yeah.
Or can you play it in 30? And
while
kind of leave it up to you.
While I agree with you, I think part of the reason why some people buy a console though is to not have to deal with stuff like that.
Right.
Just to know
that's
that
true.
Everything you buy is going to work on the system.
Yeah.
So,
like I was just about to say, if that ends up being the system where it's like, every game I start, I'm gonna have to go into the menu and downgrade whatever my stuff is, or, vice versa, depending on which box you're on. Like I'm going to personally, me will hate that. Like that is the opposite of the reason that I like playing Xbox. So if it's not like a game is self-aware of what I'm running on kind of thing, then I will be disappointed.
Yeah, it needs
for
to
sure.
fix itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is important. Next one's from Alexandra Sonchinka. Says, I'm a PlayStation owner, but Neo needs to be slightly more than just a bit prettier picture to justify the upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Justin Banks at Sir Kingsman. Hey, Justin says, only if it's a slim version and I win the lottery. So that would be, I'll just give my answer right now since mine's kind of in line with his, but obviously I would love to see a slimmer Xbox system just for, for space requirements in my setup or whatever. And, to add on to that, if it were slim, but also if there were not a disk drive in the new version, I think I might be into that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
lose any disc games you've bought then at that point, or are they coming up with a system for that as well?
No, I'm just saying like you as the consumer would make that choice. So you would just say I'm, you know, I will only buy downloadable games, and therefore I just want to put it, you know, want to put it in my home theater. I'm only going to buy digital games, and then I won't worry about the discs, or I'll keep my old one for the discs, or whatever the case may be. So I think that's,
I mean, I'd be fine without a disc drive. It's just that, like, you know, I already own, it's not, it's like I own Rock Band with the full gear on disc, which would mean that I'm now deciding as to whether I can play Rock Band at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very hard sell for, I think, an existing owner. And I think the thing that makes it a little weird is that, I don't know to the extent that PlayStation is doing this, but right now Xbox is like blowing out their existing stock with like offers of free games and discounts and things like that too. So it just seems like the writing is on the wall that new hardware is on the way.
Yep. Chris Jenkins at Cloglip says probably no on the PS4 unless they have some sort of upgrade path, but it might give me a cheap entry point for an Xbox One, which is what I was saying. So if the old hardware drops in price, you know, which it should at least, then you might get more adoption on the systems that people don't have.
There will certainly be a bunch of used ones at GameStop the day after the new ones come out.
So true. Yeah. So true.
And this sort of mirrors my answer, which is I'm not likely to, just because I don't have the same complaints necessarily. Like, I don't really care about the Xbox's size. It fits on my shelf. It sits where it sits, and I'm not really worried about it in any kind of general way. The only thing that I would be happy with, there'd be two things. One, get rid of the fucking power brick that has to take up like 6 square feet of my floor space beneath my TV stand. Mm-hmm. And two, like, fix the heat generation problems off that thing is insane. Like, I can't put anything remotely near, like, if you put a DVD box near it, it'll like melt the plastic in the DVD box.
Yeah, isn't so, the PS4 has a power supply built into the system, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because it's 2016 and the brick is insane. It's like a leftover from like computer days that they would need these gigantic conversion boxes.
No,
and
we
talked about it before, where it's like, I think Ash brought up the heat point, but it doesn't seem like it's saving. I mean,
it's
maybe
still
that's
hot. No, you're absolutely right. It's still damn hot.
So I don't know, but I think I'm unlikely to, unless there's something super, super enticing. But most likely I would just sit on my Xbox One and then maybe pick up a PS4 at like a discounted price at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cliffy Joel, Joel C. Haberly says, I've got a 4K TV. Might as well put it to good use. Hey, Cliffy Joel. Yeah, if you have a 4K TV and the new PlayStation or Xbox One's going to have 4K output, may as well do it. That's going to look really pretty, especially at 60 frames per second. It's going to be a whole nother ball game.
Yes. Wizard Co. at Some Pony Else.
Love that name.
Yeah, says, I got the mid-cycle PS3 updated flat one, and I still enjoy it. So if there's a nice color one, I'll get the PS4 then, I guess. Yeah, I'm on board with that. I mean, that PS3 Slim was like a really great machine, especially after you remember the original PS3 was like that big, shiny, metallic thing. It was like a spaceship almost.
It's a beast, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'll go ahead and give mine real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would upgrade my Xbox before my PS4, mainly because I've had the movie Edge of Tomorrow stuck in my drive for like a year
and a half. Yeah, Ash already has a discless Xbox.
I do. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going digital.
Yep.
This fucking disc has been in here for a year and a half. And the worst part about it is it makes this disgusting grinding noise every time I turn it on, because it's trying to do something with the disc and it just goes, oh, it sounds horrible.
Maybe one day the mechanism will finally jar the disc and it'll just come out in like 1,000 pieces.
Oh my god, I would be so happy. The worst part is I just want to watch the movie. I never even got to rewatch it. It got stuck in, it won't even play.
I thought it would play at least, because I was gonna say, well, good news is they're making a sequel, so you can like catch up on the movie all you want before the sequel comes out.
So excited.
Colin D at Colin Drimmy says, probably not until the inevitable price drop. I'll close it out, Ash.
Daniel Coleman, Lucky Spork, says, maybe. Depends on what they do to entice people to upgrade. No bonuses. I'm probably not in. Might need a PS4K, though.
Yeah, that's 4K. Interesting. So if you're an existing owner, you have to view it as an upgrade, right? And then at that point, you're like, what's the point of me upgrading? So they need to, like, entice people, like, to get the new one. So what do they tell you? You know, oh, this will only, you know, this is HoloLens compatible or or, you know, maybe right. they, you know, I know there was a comment made, but maybe they do give you something you can plug into your existing Xbox One, like an N64
please no.
RAM yeah, pack. Yeah.
Please no.
Yeah.
That'd be so bad.
Yeah.
That's what Crazy it needs. Talk. More stuff that we can plug it in.
Yeah. I just want it to be simple. That's all I want. I just want it to be simple, clean and no, simple.
I'm with you, but I just like, you know, at $400, I'm probably not going to buy the same minorly upgraded Xbox that I already have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then figure out what I'm going to do with the gigantic one I have, you know, like then I have to sell it. Then you got to go on Craigslist. You might get killed. Like there's whole things you got to deal with at that point.
Factually correct.
That's true. Yeah. You don't want to get murdered.
No, I'm not going to get murdered over a thin Xbox.
Oh, I think this is a good place to call this show.
That's the message they're putting out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Good job, Blatt.
Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 230 of the Rated NA podcast. Another 20 episodes and we're calling it quits.
Yeah. What? That's the end.
I quit at episode 250. Just kidding. I'll never quit.
I'll never quit you.
I'll never quit you guys.
Oh.
As always, you can find us on Twitter and that's at NerdAppropriate. You can email us all directly and that's Matt, Scott, or Ash at NerdAppropriate.com or just nerds at NerdAppropriate.com. Hey, we have got a Twitch hey. Channel. Guess what? It's /NerdAppropriate on Twitch.
No
so Twitch.tv/NerdAppropriate and follow us there. That would make us really happy. And then we'll start doing streams and talking to you guys. And maybe one day we'll do a live show. That's possible with Twitch TV.
Whoa.
It's kind of crazy.
That's insane.
I know.
I still need it explained to me.
All right. We'll explain it as we're doing the live show.
I can Snapchat, but I don't understand Twitch.
Guys, we'll all get through technology together.
Testicles? Isn't that all what? Snapchat is for? Is for your privates?
No, man, you just be weird on it. It's great.
Oh, okay.
I'm starting to really love Snapchat in a way. Oh,
okay, maybe I'll pick this. You gotta embrace this fangled Snapchat up.
You got to embrace the ephemeral.
No. Oh. All right.
I should make marketing for them.
You should. Whoa! Did someone just honk a horn?
Yeah, that was my ride's here, guys.
See you guys later. See you next week. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in. We will see you guys next week with episode 231.
Hooray.
Hopefully we've played more shit.
Including The Division.
Yay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Later. Wait up, Uber driver.
So let's see. Oh, you got to read the thing.
Yeah.
Getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. What are you doing? You going to do the rundown?
Nope. I was, but I'm not going to do it now.
Do you know what the rundown is brought to you by?
I think the whole show, possibly.
We should just get segments sponsored.
Okay. Just say that. Just do that right now.
This week's rundown is brought to you by Loot Crate.
Hey.